Once again, good morning and happy anniversary. 38 years we're celebrating of OIC ministry. And whether you're a long-term member, been here almost from the beginning, 38 years, or whether you just came for the first time today, we're very happy that you're here. And we would just love for you to join in and celebrate with us the blessing of 38 years. And over these years, you know, thousands of people have worshiped here at OIC, and we give thanks to the Lord for His grace, according to His plan and purpose given to this church, established not just 38 years ago, but in God's plan, established from the beginning of time, before the world was created, already in God's plan, you know, this church was here. And Psalm 139, verse 16. You know, King David was praising God, and he wrote, he said, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God had a plan for David's life even before he created the world. And God has a plan for OIC and for each of us as well. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And He is accomplishing His purposes in our lives, in history, in this ministry here. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, it says, God tells us, "I made known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Amen. Amen. The Lord our God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And He's not silent. He speaks to us and He leads and guides in our lives. He speaks to us in many ways, most especially through His word, the Bible, but also through our brothers and sisters, through the church in many ways. Let's go ahead and take a look this morning. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. We've been in a study in Acts, but we're going to take a break from that today. And for the month I'm gone, Joseph will be bringing some other things. And we'll get back to Acts a little bit later. But today we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." All who are in Christ are a new creation in Him. And this new creation includes an inward change of heart and an outward change of lifestyle and attitude in the things that we do and say. Through faith in Jesus, we are made to be new, a new person in Christ. We are reconciled to our Heavenly Father and adopted into His family as His sons and daughters. And we receive this gift of salvation as we go to Him in prayer. And we believe in Jesus and we repent of our sins and we ask for forgiveness in prayer before His throne and invite Him into our life as Lord. And from the time we decide to follow Jesus, we grow in our relationship with Him, in fellowship with other believers, and through study of His Word, and through continued prayer before His throne, day by day and hour by hour. This lifestyle of relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus, we often say we walk with Jesus Christ. We express it with the idea of a walk and walking with God. And as we walk with Christ, we become His ambassadors to a lost and fallen world, to the people of this world. We are called as Christians individually And collectively, each one of us individually, but also all of us together as a church, we're called to the task of representing the kingdom of God as his ambassadors and encouraging everyone to be reconciled to God. This is God's message for all people, given through his church, given through us, because we are the church. Amen? Ooh, a little quiet. We are the church. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, amen. We are the church. So the message is given through us, God's message for the world. And all who have experienced the joy of salvation desire to share this joy with others, the love and peace of knowing Jesus. So we invite family, friends, and neighbors, and all people saying, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, every nation sends out ambassadors to go around the world to represent their nation and the interest of their nation to the peoples of the world. And in his divine wisdom and his plan and purpose, God has done something very similar. He sends us out as his ambassadors to the world to share with people. And sometimes he sends us around the world, you know. My wife and I, we came from the USA to Japan to share God's love as his ambassadors. But sometimes it's just across the street or even across the room to a family member that needs to be encouraged. So God in his wisdom has given us the role of representing his kingdom. And like all ambassadors, wherever we're sent, our mission is to represent the one who has sent us. As followers of Jesus, we do not have the freedom to make up our own mission or to make up our own message. Our mission and our message are given to us by the one who sends us. And our role is to faithfully deliver his message and to carry out the mission he's given. And if we go back and take a second look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 that we just read, what did it say? It said, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This verse reveals how our mission is a God-given ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And other Bible verses throughout the scriptures tell us more about our mission and about this ministry. You know, they tell us, for example, that it's a worldwide mission to all people and all peoples everywhere, because God loves each and every person. God loves everyone so much. And we are to proclaim God's love in evangelism and discipleship. It tells us the Great Commission about how we go out and proclaim the teachings of Christ and his love to a lost and fallen world. Proclaim the name of Jesus and then help people to live in a way that's pleasing in his sight. And in our own lives, we strive to live in a way that's pleasing in his sight. None of us have finished that or completed that. We're all somewhere on the way. I'm a long way from perfect, but that's what we're doing in walking with Jesus. We're trying to be more like him and to live in a way that pleases him. And that's tied to that discipleship and growing closer to God and to reconciliation with God and the ongoing reconciliation of our lives with all of the people around us. Paul expresses the Great Commission in the passage we're looking at today in terms of the ministry of reconciliation, an idea that teaches us a lot about the heart of God. The idea of a ministry of reconciliation just says so much about the heart of God. This ministry of reconciliation begins with the invitation to be reconciled to God. That's first and that's most important, but it doesn't end there. It's also the ministry of reconciliation for families. for that may be strained or may be apart, for families to come together and love one another and reconciliation in the home. It's the ministry of reconciliation for friends that maybe had a close friendship, but then something happened and they fell apart. But it's a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of reconciliation even for nations, to bring peace among the nations and amongst the peoples of the world. It's a ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God and be reconciled to one another. In the love of Christ, we begin to learn how to live in peace and harmony. Peace and harmony. We learn from the Bible, from the Holy Spirit leading in our heart, in our lives. Wherever there are damaged or broken relationships between family members, friends, co-workers, between races, between nations, wherever there is a need for reconciliation, the Lord comes through us as his ambassadors and says, be reconciled to God, be reconciled to one another. You know, though many people want to be reconciled, but they just don't know how to go about it. They don't know what to do to be reconciled to one another. And the scriptures give us many examples of reconciliation to meet this need of ours for examples and for wisdom of how to be reconciled. It tells us, you know, about reconciliation, but also shows us in the stories of people in the Bible who are reconciled. For example, in Genesis chapter 33, there's the story of Jacob and Esau, twin brothers whose relationship had been broken for many years, and they were separated far apart. But Jacob was returning to his homeland. But his brother Esau is coming to meet him. Well, that sounds good. His brother's coming, but his brother is coming to meet him with an army of 400 men. And that doesn't sound so good. That's pretty scary. Jacob was greatly afraid, but God had promised reconciliation and told him to go home. So Jacob sent servants ahead with a generous gift to soften Esau's heart. And in Genesis 33:11, we read of the meeting of the two brothers. They come together and Jacob says, please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. And there we see, maybe not a perfect and complete reconciliation, but a reconciliation between these brothers, because Esau's acceptance of the gift shows that he is accepting it. They're reconciled on that day, brought back into relationship where their relationship was broken. Another example of reconciliation can be found in the story of Joseph and his brothers, in the sons of Israel. Joseph's brothers had been very jealous of him. And because of their jealousy, they had actually sold their brother into slavery in Egypt. Ooh, that's not good. Sold into slavery by your own brothers or sisters, in this case, brothers. Yeah. But God watched over Joseph and caused him to prosper in Egypt. And eventually, Joseph became a ruler in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And years later, when there was a famine in the land, famine in Israel and other lands there, Joseph's brothers, they came down to Egypt to buy food. But there in Egypt, Joseph had power over his brothers, and he could have taken revenge on them for their cruelty to him. He could have had them imprisoned. He could even have had them killed. He had that power and authority in Egypt, but he didn't do that. Joseph didn't do that. Instead of seeking revenge, instead of trying to get even, Joseph chose reconciliation. He chose to forgive his brothers, and they were reconciled together. And Genesis 45:15 tells us, speaking of Joseph, it says, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and afterwards his brothers talked with him. It's a wonderful picture of reconciliation. He kissed each of his brothers and, you know, wept over them that he was so glad to see them again despite all that had happened. And they talked with him, a picture of fellowship. Now, one of the best known examples of reconciliation is the parable of the prodigal son. Probably almost everyone knows the parable of the prodigal son. You've heard it one time or another. And in this story, the young son asked his father to give him his inheritance early. He said, I don't want to wait for you to die yet. I want to get my inheritance now. And then he gathered it up and he went off to a far country and he squandered his inheritance on useless things of this world. But the day came when he realized how foolish he had been. And he realized that he'd been very foolish. And he turned back. You know, he repented. He turned back. And he comes back to his father's home. And he tells his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." No longer worthy to be called your son. And he's saying, you know, just give me the role even as a servant or a slave in the household because I'm not worthy to be a son. But the father, what did the father do? The father called for a celebration and rejoiced and celebrated that his son was home. And he dressed him in rich robes and gave him symbols of authority, because the son who had been lost had been found. And a ring was placed on the son's finger, showing his place as a son in the household had been restored. And they were reconciled between the father and the son. Now, these stories, these examples provide illustrations of how confession, apology, repentance, forgiveness, bring restoration and reconciliation. And these stories are models, examples of how to achieve reconciliation wherever human relationships are broken. You know, these give examples of ways in which reconciliation can be accomplished. But these stories also contain a deeper meaning that's back there behind them, because they also teach, they also speak of the need which every man and woman, every human being has for reconciliation with the Creator God, who is our Heavenly Father. Our greatest need is reconciliation with Father God, who created us and gave us life, you know. God created the heavens and the earth, and He created us. And God created us to live in loving relationship with Him. He created us to walk with Him. But our sins have separated us from God. We've all done things that were wrong, said things that were wrong, and that separated us from God so that we live like back in the darkness, you know. We need to be reconciled with God. We need to be reconciled with one another. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says, you know, using illustration from that time when they had many sheep and sheep herders, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." If the prophet Isaiah had just stopped there, we might be very discouraged because we would be left as lost sheep. We would be left as lost and gone into many wrong paths. But the prophecy doesn't stop there. It continues. And it says something that at the time must have been mysterious. It says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And it's speaking prophetically about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and how the sins of the world are laid on Jesus on the cross. By taking the penalty for our sins upon himself, Jesus provides for the forgiveness of sin and made a way for us to be reconciled to God, our Heavenly Father. Now, this prophecy of a coming Messiah that Isaiah gave about 2,700 years ago, well, it was fulfilled 700 years after he gave it, when Jesus came about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus came into this world. He came down from heaven, he's thrown heaven, he came into this world, born as a baby. He walked the long and lonely road to the cross, where he gave his life as a ransom for our sins. And because of the cross, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, we are able to receive forgiveness of sins and to have a restored relationship with God. And this salvation is the gift of God given to us freely for all who confess their sins and turn to God through faith in Jesus. And these stories we talked about, the story of Jacob, the story of Joseph, the parable of the prodigal son, give us examples and models for seeking reconciliation. But in the death of Jesus on the cross, we find true reconciliation for our most serious problem, for our greatest need, which is to be reconciled with God, our Heavenly Father, where all true reconciliation begins, is restored relationship with God. True reconciliation accomplished through Jesus' death on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19:30 records the moment when the work of reconciliation was completed. Speaking of Jesus, it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. When we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we're reconciled to God. And that work of providing for that salvation, that forgiveness of sins, that work of reconciliation is accomplished on the cross, where Jesus says, "It is finished." That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the work of salvation, of providing the way for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father again. And when we turn to God and through faith in Jesus accept that, we are also called to join the mission of proclaiming the message of reconciliation to a lost and fallen world. So you come back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we started out. It says, verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Once we have received that reconciliation through faith in Christ, we're called as ambassadors to the world, sent out to a lost and fallen world representing Christ, and spreading, teaching his message of reconciliation, sharing his love. By the way, if you were looking for an ambassador, where would you look? Oh, I want to find the ambassador from Canada. So where would you look? Well, maybe the best place to look for the ambassador would be at the embassy. So we have a picture. Here's the embassy in Tokyo, the Canadian embassy. If you're looking for the Canadian embassy, go to the Canadian embassy and maybe he'll be there. Because it's a visible presence of the Canadian government and their representatives in Japan. So an embassy serves as a visible presence of a nation in another place where the ambassador can be found. I think everybody's familiar with that idea. And a lot of times we as ambassadors of Christ, a lot of times we have to go out into the city or into the country and find people and share the good news of Jesus. And ambassadors do that a lot. They go out into the community and they find people and they share. So we need to go out and share with wherever people are. But sometimes people are looking for us. Sometimes people have heard a little bit about Jesus somewhere along the way, or they've heard about the church, and they come looking for us. And that is why it's very important for the church to have a visible presence in the community. You know? Now, the building is not the church. You know, in the Bible, the church is always the people, the congregation. But we have a building. It's not our own, but we have a location where we meet. And that provides a visible presence in the community. So that the people who are looking for Jesus or looking for his representative ambassadors know where to find us. Church buildings and established times of worship that are publicly advertised and made known serve a very important role in giving the church a visible presence in the community so that people who are seeking the truth about the kingdom of God know where they can find Christ's ambassadors. Now, at OIC here, we're celebrating 38 years of a visible presence in the community here in Osaka. We don't own the building. We rent. We're tenants. But we've had an advertised meeting place, published service times when people could come and learn about Jesus. A visible presence in Osaka for 38 years. Of course, there are many other churches also, and that's okay. You have an embassy, you have lots of consulates. But for 38 years, OIC, we're celebrating that today, has served as a place where the people of Osaka, anyone who's here in the Osaka area, regardless of what nation they're originally from, you can come and meet with Christ's ambassadors and learn about the kingdom of God. Now we have a very nice meeting place. This building is built just a few years ago. Very nice place. We have lots of space. We have a nice atmosphere. Very pleasant place to meet. And meeting in this Osaka Christian Center gives us good visibility in the community. It's easy to find. Makes it easy to invite people to come and join us. Just as an embassy provides a visible outreach from the nation it represents, a church building or a place where the church meets provides God's church with a visible and welcoming presence here in Osaka or wherever you go around the world where there's established churches. But I wonder, do our friends, do our coworkers where we serve in a job or something or a school, do our neighbors, do our family members and relatives, do they know where the church is? You know, it's pretty easy to find if you're looking for it, but we want to let people know where it is. As Christ's ambassadors, we want to be diligent to share the good news of Jesus wherever people may be, right where they're at. But we also want to make sure that they know where to go if they become interested in learning more later. You know, because the reality is a lot of times you start to tell somebody about Jesus, but they're not ready to hear it then. But if you let them know where the church is and let them know they're welcome, then a month, a week, a year, or 10 years later, some point in their life where they want to look for the church, they know where to find it. So we want to be diligent in letting people know where the church is. Very simple thing. But every ambassador makes sure to advertise the location of their embassy and their consulates. And we also should make sure that people know where the church is and make sure that people know that they're welcome to come anytime. Maybe they won't come the first or the second or the third time that you invite them, but the day will come when they're ready to look for answers about the meaning of life, about the purpose of life, about God. The day comes when people want to know. And they should know where to go. They should know where the embassy or the consulate is for learning about God and the kingdom of God. where they can find Christ's ambassadors. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, our purpose, the purpose of man, is expressed pretty clearly. It says, Micah 6, 8, it says, He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The purpose of man is to walk with God. And we are able to do that through a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, through turning to Him and receiving salvation and forgiveness of sins. It makes us able to walk with God. Now this year, we're working on a special challenge here at OIC. I first shared this challenge with you almost 6 months ago on May 6th. You remember what the challenge is? Yeah, let's fill the hall for the glory of God. And even more specifically, as a prayer, we put it, my specific prayer is for us to grow in love and outreach so that at 10 a.m. on Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2013, this hall will be full of people giving thanks and praising God for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Now, Easter is the celebration of the anniversary of Jesus' resurrection. Today we're celebrating the anniversary of OIC, but at Easter we celebrate the anniversary of the resurrection. We have a good turnout today. Gives me a nice smile. We got a lot of people here this morning. But we still, if you look back there, there's still a lot of empty seats back there. We've got more room. Go out and bring more people. They'll be glad they came. After I shared this challenge last May, I actually felt a little disappointed last summer because our attendance actually went down over the summer. I thought, oh my goodness, we shared this challenge to fill the hall and instead we're dwindling away. But I was quite encouraged that come fall our attendance started to go back up, so that it's been rising since we got into September and October here. But we still have a lot of space left. And we want to fill the hall, but we need to walk by faith, not according to our feelings, you know. And sometimes if there's a small turnout one Sunday for whatever reason, because people have, you know, undokai or whatever, you can feel a little disappointed. But we don't go by feelings. We go by faith, trusting in God. Whether we feel disappointed or whether we feel encouraged on that particular day, our mission is the same. To share the good news of reconciliation with God through faith in Jesus. It's the same mission regardless of how we feel. And we need to remember that, because out in the world, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sometimes we may feel very discouraged. But it's the same mission to share the love of Christ. Sometimes we may be very excited and filled with joy. It's the same mission to share the love of Jesus Christ. Most of us find it more difficult to share the love of Christ when we're feeling down and disappointed. Most of us find it harder then. But sometimes it's even more effective to share with people when you're not feeling so good. Because you can say, hey, you know, I'm struggling too. I've had a rough week. I've had this, this, and this go wrong in my life. But it's okay because I still trust in Jesus. And His love is certain. Sometimes that's even more effective than those days when you're feeling so excited and happy, you know, and the other person saying, I just can't relate to you because you're just like weirded out with joy, you know. Same mission, regardless of how we feel. As Christ's ambassadors, we urge the people of the world to be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Through faith in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Now, our goal this year that we set, our prayer that we've been praying to fill the hall, can be an important part of this ministry of reconciliation, because It's not the only way, certainly, but coming to church is one of the easiest and best ways to learn about Jesus. It's a good place to learn about Jesus, to come to church, whether it's the Sunday morning service or a weekday Bible study or the Saturday night service or the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course is a great place for people to learn about Jesus and to be reconciled to God. But letting people know that we're here and inviting them to church and filling the hall is a really good step, an important part of that process. So we want to invite people and encourage people to come in. You know, the process of a person coming to know Jesus and being reconciled to God and finding peace and love and joy in their lives, the process often begins with a prayer. A prayer of someone who loves this person, you know, just taking time before God to pray for someone they love. When you pray for someone you love and care about, maybe somebody very close to you, or maybe somebody you don't even know, but you just love them because you know Jesus loves them. Your neighbor across the street, maybe you don't even know their name, but you know Jesus loves them, and you start praying for them. Very often, the ministry of reconciliation begins with a prayer. By the way, let's see here. I have my prayer card with me. I won't ask you to hold them up, but do you have your prayer card? Have you put some names down? Are you praying for people? If you don't have one, they're still available out here in the hallway on the cart, on the bottom shelf now, I think. But you can get the little prayer cards to pray for people. And reconciliation, that thing we've been talking about with reconciliation, it often starts when you begin to pray for somebody. I really want to encourage you to get a card, to fill it out, put some names on there of people that you want to be here with you next Easter Sunday in this coming year, and begin praying for them. Now, some of these people might be family members or friends that you've been trying to share with and hadn't made any progress. Some of them might be strangers who live across the street or people you work with that you've not yet had the courage to even mention Jesus or the church to. But as you begin to pray for them, God will soften their heart, and He'll also give you the courage to share with those people. Some may also be Christian brothers and sisters. Christian brothers and sisters who used to come here or maybe to another church, but somewhere along the line they became discouraged and disconnected, and they need to be reconciled to their brothers and sisters in the church. So some may be Christian brothers and sisters. You remember thinking, that person used to come 3 years ago, and I haven't seen them in a long time. And you start praying for them. Maybe after a while you pick up the phone and call them and say, "How are you doing? I haven't seen you in a while." Whoever God may lay on your heart, I just encourage you to get those prayer cards and to fill them out and use them. And the invitation to come to Jesus, to be reconciled to God, is for each and every person. You know, it's for each and every person, each one of you. The message is for you. The message of reconciliation is for you. And if you know the Lord, the message of becoming an ambassador for Christ is also for you. It's part of our role as His people in the family of God. The greatest expression of love that we can give, the greatest expression of love we can give people we care about, is to introduce them to Jesus. You know, you could give them $10 million, and that would not be nearly as much of a blessing as telling them about Jesus. Yeah, nothing is as great a blessing for a person as knowing Jesus, because that's an eternal blessing. It's not just for a few years in this world, but it's forever and ever to be home with God in heaven in fellowship and relationship with Him. And so it's the message of love. You know, back in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 22. There's a time, you know, when Jesus is teaching and preaching, and then the Pharisees are getting upset about it. But anyway, a teacher of the law comes to Jesus, and he asks him a question, trying to test Jesus. Look at the question and the answer Jesus gave. Matthew 22, 36 to 39. Person comes and says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" I'm going to test him whether Jesus knows his Old Testament, but guy didn't understand very well, did he? But he comes and he says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Loving God, the first and greatest commandment. And Jesus continued, he said, "The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." The message of love. We serve as Christ's ambassadors, inviting people into relationship with God. And when we do that, we are fulfilling both of these commandments, the commandment to love God and the commandment to love our neighbor. Our faithfulness to share the love of Christ with others, the mission and ministry God has given us as ambassadors for Him, our faithfulness to share that message expresses our love for God, because He loves that person too. And we are acting as His ambassador when we love that person and tell them about Jesus. And our efforts to share the love of Christ expresses our love for our neighbor, because we're going to them and we're telling them about the greatest solution to the biggest problem that faces every man and woman who's alive. The need to be reconciled to God. May we be diligent in serving as His ambassadors. And may the Lord daily give us the wisdom, the grace, the strength, and boldness that we need for this ministry of reconciliation, to share the message of God's love. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, loving Lord, we thank You for the wonders of Your grace and love. We, like lost sheep, went astray. We ignored Your voice, the voice of the shepherd. We turned into ways that are far from Your will and from Your heart. And we did wrong in many, many different ways. We sinned in the things we did, and even in the things we failed to do, in the words we spoke, and in the silence that we chose when we should have spoken up in love. We fail in many ways, but Lord, You did not forget us. You did not abandon us. You provided a way of reconciliation, coming in the person of Christ Jesus to give Your life as a ransom for ours, to pay for our sins by taking the death penalty for sin upon Yourself. Lord, thank You for this great love, for this endless mercy, for this blessing of salvation. I pray that each and every one of us would open our hearts wide to You, that we would know You, that we would repent of our sins, that we would turn to You and receive that forgiveness of sin, the eternal life, the blessing of reconciliation. I pray that we would each be reconciled to You, that we would be reconciled to one another, to our family, friends, to our neighbors, that we might live in peace and harmony and with joy and community as brothers and sisters, your people, your family, your kingdom. Make us ambassadors and teach us how to represent your love to the world, how to share your message. And we do pray, Lord, that you would fill this hall for your glory. Bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.